Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Good to be in studio with you today. Well, look, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. We have a fascinating guest, Audrey Groeschel, and she is going to be talking about what is the female business model. Isn't that fair? I didn't even know there was a different model for females.
But is that different than the feminine mystique? Or
You'll have to stay tuned. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. Well, Audrey is a coach and a facilitator of a group called the Uncommon Society of Entrepreneurial Women. She is the force behind the women business support group, Goddess at the Grindstone, and she wants to spread the word of being in business as a woman and what that means. She says that too often women in the business world are doing business from a deficit, utilizing men's strengths and not their own to create, run, and do their business. And while the male model has been working for men for centuries, women struggle with the model set in front of them because it's simply not the way their brains work. So it's time for women to give themselves a leg up that they deserve and to learn from a place that we're meant to be, their innate feminine side. And after many years at different types of jobs and businesses, Audrey has finally found what the most important thing to her is: being allowed to be a woman in business and sharing that message with all. Welcome, Audrey.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Oh, hey, it's fascinating. I'm glad to have you here. I've been waiting, almost 2 months to get you on this show.
Yeah, it has, huh?
You are a busy person.
I am.
That's always a good sign.
Yes, it is.
Well, look, let's just start right off. Tell the audience a little bit about your background. What did you do before what you're doing now?
Well, directly before, I was coaching. And before that, I was doing massage therapy. And I have also been a real estate agent. I've managed restaurants, and I ran merchandise sales for the transient shows at Honda Center and several other different kinds of businesses over the course of my life.
So let's see, I'm trying to find a common thread between those things. Is there?
Well, a lot of it was, except for the massage, everything was really managing.
Okay.
That's definitely one of my strong points, is managing people and keeping things organized and just making things run smoothly.
Somehow I've already gotten the sense in the first few minutes you're not a pushover person.
No. I wouldn't say that that's a word associated with me at all.
So what are you doing now? Talk to the audience about what you have. Two businesses going. Let's hear a little bit about both of them.
Well, first off, what I'm doing is Goddess at the Grindstone, which is for women's business support. And what developed from that, it actually came from my own need for support. I realized that I needed collaboration. I was coaching, and I had a program that I'd put together to deal with women's increasing their self-confidence, and realized I didn't really have anybody that I could go to. While my friends are great, they would just, that's nice. And I didn't have any sort of business collaboration at all. And I couldn't seem to find anybody, so I went looking and found that there's a lot of networking groups out there, but there's not a lot of support. In fact, I think I may be one of the only groups, at least in Orange County, that offers strictly support. We are not a networking group. It does happen organically because we get to know each other, but the support aspect is the most important thing. And what I found was, when I looked on and looked for everybody to, you know, to see if there was a group, what I found was women jumped and said, "Oh my gosh, I want to join too."
Now, before we get too far, tell me what you consider the difference between a networking group and a support group.
The networking group is really more for expanding your business by the help of everybody else. Because what you do in a networking group is you essentially turn everybody into your commercial. You teach them about what you do so that they can confidently go out there and recommend you to other people.
Okay.
And with the support group, what you do is you come in with the problems that you're experiencing in your own business, or inside of yourself, even in how you're running your business, and you come to this group and you can put all those things on the table and get some collaboration from everybody in the group.
Okay. So if I interchange the word support group with a mastermind group, would that be the same thing, or is that different?
It's a little different. I think that there's some masterminding going on, which I don't like that word anyways because it's a very masculine word.
Uh-oh. Maybe that's why I was so comfortable with it. Support was making me a little squirmy here in the chair.
But what happens is there's so much more than that. We have member presentations, and that alone, we want to know your journey. We want to know how you got to where you are in your business and what your dreams are moving forward for your business so that we get to know you personally, not just your business. We can recommend you by all means, and it does happen regularly. But the main purpose is to get to know each other and foster the connection to create a community.
Okay, let me try one more. How about peer group? Is that the same as a support group?
Probably. It's a little bit closer, I think, than just strict mastermind. I don't know that there's any real word for this at this point. I've been kind of trying to make words up as we go.
Well, you know, I wasn't planning to even go down that road with this question. You and I didn't talk about it before. But as soon as you said support, I found myself getting a little uncomfortable. As a guy, if you want me to join a support group, it doesn't sound really like the kind of thing I would do.
It's not a masculine thing.
Yeah.
That's not the way your brain functions. You don't need to verbally talk about anything. And that's all women do. I mean...
You said that. I didn't say that.
Well, look, facts are facts. They've done the studies on it, and they find that women speak, 30,000 words a day, and men speak less than 10,000? It's a ridiculous, difference. And women think out loud. And women have to pull all the pieces from inside themselves to bring it out to collaborate. I mean, I know I talk to myself when I'm alone. I have to verbalize. I have to say it out loud. I can't just say it in my head. And to have a group of women with you, in front of you, to be able to do that with is just brilliant. And men don't think that way. Men make a decision in their head quick like that, and then they're done. And they don't even think about it anymore.
Okay. So I interrupted you.
No, that's okay.
You were just telling us that you created the support group.
Yep.
I said it without stumbling. Support group.
Thank you.
For Goddess at the Grindstone.
Yes.
What else can you tell us about the group?
Well, we get guest speakers in and stuff like that. What I'm looking for are guest speakers to help everybody figure out how to run their businesses better. We had a brand expert in a couple of weeks ago. She was fabulous. And she taught everybody just what we were talking about earlier, the why behind your business. Why are you doing it? What is your voice? All of those things. And a lot of people don't even know that about their own businesses, why they're doing it. They just have a passion, but they don't know why. And so she was a great, great find. And we have, so the guest speakers are great. We also talk about business topics. And it could be anything from what's happening currently in the news. It could be new laws that may be shifting for a specific business. It could be that silly thing that we have with, being thought of as a, forgive my language, bitch, as a boss. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with problem customers? What do you do in any situation? So we do a lot of topic discussion too.
Okay. Now, your format for the meeting is a little different than what I've run into before. Share that with our audience. I find it fascinating.
Well, the format is unique. Every meeting is unique because of the fact that we offer so many different things in a meeting. Each one is going to ebb and flow, and there's a lot of fluidity that really is not a masculine thing, but a much more feminine model, a feminine way of thinking, and not just being, but literally the way our brains work. Our brains work that way specifically. We are not linear thinkers. We are fluid thinkers. And we engage both sides of our brains as we think much more than men do. And we also use emotion and intuition as we think. And so the whole meeting really has a much more intuitive feel to it than anything else.
And if I remember right, you were telling me that your meeting schedule and when members can attend, that mm-hmm. was kind of fascinating too.
Yeah, I offer 4 different meeting times a month right now. I used to have more, but I had a really slow summer, so I knocked them back. And women come whenever they can. I have some members that would come every single time if they could. But the only requirement that I have is that you come at least once a month to be an active member.
Okay, see, now that one really, I don't know of another group I've run into, especially for men.
Yeah.
Where you had your choice of four different times and you could come or go to anyone or all of them.
Yeah.
If they fit your schedule.
But that's the way women think.
Yeah.
I can't make this one, but I can make the next one. I got kids to pick up from school. I got, you know, whatever going on. We are the ebb and flow, and I created this to be able to allow for that ebb and flow in their lives.
What flexibility?
That's the whole idea. I think men have, and not to, and I none of this is meant as a negative against either sex. This is just the way simply our brains function. But men have very linear thinking, which does lead to a lot of rigidity. And women are very fluid, which leads us to, I mean, most men look at women running around with their heads cut off and think, oh my God, I don't know how they're doing that. And yet we still get things done.
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but I would say my impression, just thinking about it now quickly, is that men are probably more tuned to structure,
yes.
More tuned to routine, to schedule.
Yes, you're very task-oriented.
Yes.
You are problem solver, and you're problem solver via the task. So you put one task in front of you, you finish that one task. Women have multiple tasks in front of them on a regular basis and do all of them at once.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to stick to any format here because this is so fascinating. So how does that affect you? How has it affected you? When you go into the workplace, predominantly male workplace.
Yeah.
And that isn't your way of thinking. How does that help you or prevent you from fitting in? What's been your experience there?
Well, up until the last year, I would say that I did everything that I could to fit in. That I came in and put myself into that linear mode and put myself into task orientation as opposed to the multi-focus orientation. And while I'm a doer and I get things done, and I did get them done, I found myself increasingly distracted the longer I went and getting very angry at myself. And there, while you can do it, I think that it makes us just, it doesn't fit with us and it makes us feel uncomfortable. And I know I couldn't wait to get up and go and do something else. And now what's really cool is because I have my own business, I get to work the way I want to work. And what I do is I can have, like I said, those multiple tasks sitting in front of me and spend 5 minutes on one, 20 minutes on another, 30 minutes on another, an hour on another, and then come back and start all over again. Or I can go to number two and do number two again, and then do number one, and then do number four, and then do number one again. It doesn't matter, but I can flow the way my brain wants to. If I have an idea that says, oh, I got to go back and do that, I can. And I'm not set by any rigid rules. So I get to follow where my mind lets me go. And if you think about it, a lot of stuff happens behind our consciousness. So the things that we think about in front, like right here in our faces, are not necessarily reflective of what's happening behind in the unconscious. So when you're in the middle of doing something else, I mean, all of us have experienced that where you remember, oh my gosh, I just totally remembered what I'd forgotten. And that's what happens with the business too. It allows, especially women's brains, to function, and you could think about I'm on number four, but hey, I just had that idea that I needed to follow on number one, and I'm going to go back and do that.
So, you know, that it would seem to me that kind of work pattern, or to use today's popular term, that kind of work culture would probably drive most organizational systems nuts.
Oh, yeah.
If they're being managed by a man.
Absolutely.
Because the very, you know, command control kind of structure is, I've laid out this. When you get that done, then we'll do the next thing.
Yes.
And if I'm working with you, you're working on 10 things that are half done.
Yes.
At
yes.
the same time.
Yep. The funny thing is, though, I always finish on time. I do follow through and get done what needs to be done, but I don't I don't force it most.
How often, how long do people stay in your women support groups?
Well, since the group has only been around since April, when I
years.
Have, yeah, years. I really have only had, I've literally only been doing this 6 months. Okay. I guess that's how long it's been. Since I officially formed Goddess at the Grindstone and it became an actual group. And I pretty much have almost every original member from that moment.
That's wonderful.
And I have new people come and test out the waters all the time.
Okay, we're going to come back to this. But before we leave it, I want you to tell our audience a little bit about your other business, which doesn't have anything to do. Kind of makes your point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really makes my point. I fell into doing social media marketing for bars. Not restaurants, but just bars.
And not just bars, but specific niche bars.
Well, not necessarily. We do have a sports bar also, but one of my bars is a cigar lounge. It's a cigar indoor smoking cigar lounge that has a full bar.
Okay. And if the audience is wondering how you can do that in California,
you have to be a member.
There
yes,
you go.
They pay to be able to come and do that. There's only four of them in California, and one of them happens to be in Fullerton, and that's the one I work with. And I fell into that very simply and very easily. My boyfriend is a bartender there, and the guy that was doing their social media before, I said, oh my gosh, I can do so much better than this guy. And he went in and told the manager, and the manager said, all right, send her in, let's talk. And I went in and he said, what are you going to do? And I said, oh, well, I could do this and this and this and this. And he said, okay, great. And pretty much I was hired.
So what is the objective of social media in working with bars? What are you trying to accomplish?
This is the thing. With bars, so much of what's happening is on social media. People are texting their friends. They're looking on Instagram and saying, who is where right now? Where are you at? Where's the party happening? And so they're finding out on social media. No one's calling anybody. You're in the bar. It's loud. How are you going to be able to talk to anybody? Everybody's taking selfies of themselves all the time. They're taking a picture of their drink. They're posting it online. And they're tagging where they're at. They're saying, hey, I am here. Come, you know, hang out and have a drink with me. And so social media is huge. And anything from Yelp with the reviews, which are amazing, and you get such great, great things from them. But there's anything from Instagram to Twitter to Facebook and Google Plus a little bit. It's not that big, but there's a lot of engagement on a lot of those sites right now. And everybody talks back and forth on social media about what they're doing for the night.
So social media for bars is the current version of the old Cheers statement that everybody knows my name.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, pretty much. That's almost exactly what it is. Yeah.
Two different businesses.
Yep.
Totally unrelated to one another.
Totally unrelated.
And
I can do both of them on the same day in several different ways.
I knew you were going there. No conflict with that at all. Okay,
no.
Before we take a break, we have a question we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
What is your guiding principle? What experience, what event, what sort of holds your true north? What is the value that you're not changing for anything?
Love for being able to see the perspective of everybody else. I love to be able to see what you're thinking. I want to know what you're seeing the world from. I want to know what color your sky is, because that's going to expand the color of my sky. So understanding someone else's view of the world has really always been a big thing for me. It's always my why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you here? Why is this important to you? Because I want to understand the color of your sky. It helps me expand myself always. It's just a different way of gathering information.
I love it. Wonderful. Okay. Well, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break here, and then we'll be right back.
This holiday, there's the kind of gift card you give out, then there's the kind of gift card that gives back. With 1OC's charitable giving cards, your company can give the gift of giving to employees, clients, friends, anyone you like. They, in turn, can use the card to make a donation to any local or national 501c3 charity of choice, while your company enjoys a tax deduction. Doing good is in the cards. 10C Charitable Giving Cards. Call 714-953-5757 or visit 10c.org.
And now back to Doug and his guest.
And we're back, and we're talking today to Audrey Groeschel, coach, social media maverick, whatever the term would be.
I don't even know. I don't even have a name yet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I didn't think I got the name for your social media
company. I don't even have a name yet, of all things.
Well,
I mean, this is less than 2 months old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get that on our list here.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the list. Trust me.
Well, look, I don't know exactly what the question is here, but I want to expose our audience more to this difference between the female model of business mm-hmm. and the male model, we talk so much today about culture in the business organization and diversity. And,
yes.
And we're usually thinking about generational differences. Mm-hmm. We may be thinking about ethnic background differences. But there hasn't been a lot of dialogue about culture when we're talking about differences in the way men and women think.
Yeah. And I think that that's a big mistake but it's also something, not necessarily a mistake, but just something we've missed so far. But really, the brain research is really starting to kick up now. And I'm hoping that with the information that we do learn from all of the brain scans that they're doing, that will show that a lot of the things that we do are not necessarily cultural or sexist or anything like that, but really based on the way our brains truly function. They came out with, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a huge groundbreaking fMRI that was done. And they found how women's and men's brains actually think. They showed what happens when a man thinks. And essentially, almost the entire left side of the hemisphere will light up, all the way to the back and the front, with very little crossover to the right side of the brain. Whereas a woman's brain lights up very much in the front of the brain, very little in the back of the brain, and crosses the corpus callosum enormously, so that you are lighting up the emotion, the intuition, you are into the creativity, everything else is lit up when thinking. So that is literally a physiological reason for a lot of the ways that we do things and the ways that we think and everything. So I think it'll be really fascinating to find out how we can stop judging each other, first off, for something that is innately part of who we are and how we act. I think that that's one thing that will be really fun to see. But it's also nice to, I mean, here's a perfect example. Women drivers, and this is nothing against all those women out there, sorry. Many women do not have the spatial awareness of how far away their car is from a curb, for instance, when they're pulling up to the curb. And on many women's cars, you will see that run, they've scratched their rims because mm-hmm. they touch that. Their problem is, it's not that they don't. They literally, that part of the brain does not light up. Their spatial awareness center is not very strong. And men's, it's all they use. It's one of the hugest areas of their brain. It functions and lights up enormously, and it doesn't in women's.
You know, I'm trying to, I hear what you're saying, but mm-hmm. where my mind went was thinking of sports, where mm-hmm. spatial awareness maybe is extremely critical. The ball's coming at me.
Absolutely.
or whatever. And we've got men and women playing the same sports.
Of course.
We've got men and women achieving the same level of success. Mm-hmm. So how does that fit in with what you're saying?
Well, obviously, there's going to be the anomalous things. I have pretty good spatial awareness. I generally know where my north, south, east, and west is, and I am one of very few women that can do that I know. So I think that it's going to be different for everybody, but these are sort of generalizations. But I also realize that my brain does function with its intuitive, creative, emotional side. I don't think that there's any way to get around that. Those are literally the way that works.
Okay. So
there's probably other men out there that do think a little bit more emotionally and more intuitively, And I think that there's probably women out there that don't think as emotionally and intuitively, but in general, I think that the rule is going to be applied.
Okay, so I'm glad you cleared that up. So we are talking generalities.
Absolutely.
There are going to be differences. There are going to be exceptions to any rule.
Absolutely.
But we haven't taken into consideration in the way in which we mix men and women in a business environment to work on tasks.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't ever stopped to think about should they be assigned to do things differently because they bring different thought processes or skills.
Absolutely.
At least I know I've never.
Well, why would
sat
you?
And thought about that.
Why would you? I hadn't thought of it until this last year. It would never have occurred to me until I started working with this group and realizing that our brains literally work so differently, and then looking at the research and finding out all of the different things. And it was fascinating to me to learn all of these things and realize. It was a big load off my mind, first off. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so that's kind of normal. All right. Oh, cool. I'm not crazy. So that was kind of nice to know. And also to stop judging myself so harshly that I couldn't do it in that linear, you know, single focus fashion. I'm not cut out for that. I'm not meant to do it like that.
So we're probably not talking about limitations that would keep men or women from doing specific jobs, but
right.
We're talking about the way in which they would approach the task.
Absolutely.
Does that be fair?
Well, I think approach and also what's best, because one of the things that you will find with men and women entrepreneurs have a tendency to go into a customer service type of a business. And when you think about all of the, you know, what women do, they connect and they try and create community, and they also are thinking intuitively and creatively and emotionally. And all that has to do with customer service. Whereas men have a tendency to start businesses with the CEO in mind. With they're likely to gravitate towards capital intensive is what they call it, manufacturing businesses, intensive businesses that require very single focus, linear thinking.
We want to produce things.
Right.
We don't want to deal with people.
Exactly. Exactly. That's
how many executives have I coached that said, I love what I do if there just weren't any people involved in it. You know?
And that really fits. And women are more than happy to be with people in general. And that's one of the reasons why I think there are so many women entrepreneurs that own the stores, the little mom and pop places, because they love being able to talk to their customers.
My sister started had for a number of years a brick and mortar store,
mm-hmm.
For people who did stamping.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And specialty papers and things. And then she converted it to an online business. But what made her business successful was her relationships with these people.
Yes.
I mean, I used to listen to her. She never talked about the things that I thought were important about a business, you know? How many customers do you have? What are the demographics of it? You know, how many new clients? How many lost clients? She was talking about individual people's stories.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, how do you have time to do your business when you're so into your customers' lives? But that's what business was for her.
Yeah. And that's what it is for most women.
And it created a very, very successful business.
Yeah. And that's really the way it is for most women. And my group is an example of that. Everybody comes in and shares who they are in their business. I mean, there's some that have made friends outside of the group, but everybody knows everybody in the group. Everybody knows who you are as a person, knows your story, knows why you started your business, knows where you want to go with your business. And that is the most important thing for us as women.
You know, you and I talked about it a little bit before the show, but I think it's worth mentioning on air here. And that was when I was putting together executive peer groups, not support groups. Maybe they were. But we didn't call them that.
No, no. Oh, no. That's not a man word at all.
But I found that most of the time when I approached women mm-hmm. CEOs about belonging, they didn't want to be in a group with men. They wanted to be in a group with just women. Occasionally, I would find and be able to attract women to belong to the group where mm-hmm. I had a mixed group of men and women. And when I had the mixed group, the creativity, the spontaneity, the networking, the social closeness of the group was so much greater because of putting women into the group.
Yeah.
It really bothered me that so often today in business, women want to create women-only environments, not looking at how do we work together
absolutely.
To take advantage of these differences you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I absolutely agree with you on this. It's really one of my sort of end goals, if you will, with Goddess at the Grindstone. To begin with, though, women need to learn how to do business the way they can do business. They need to learn how to work in a feminine model and out of the masculine model. They need to find their own comfort zone before they can move in. We can fully move into a collaborative state with the masculine model. Everybody needs to understand what everybody's doing. Women understand exactly what they feel. And women and men understand the masculine model without even knowing that it's a masculine model.
No, it's just the model. It is we didn't label it.
Exactly. It is the business model. Yeah. And so what needs to happen is there needs to be sort of a shift in focus, a shift in perspective of the masculine model and the feminine model, and then bringing them together to work collaboratively. I mean, ultimately, we're all going to be so much better together. None of us work well by ourselves, really, in my opinion. And I think that men and women have so many gifts of their own to bring to a table, business-wise, personal-wise, everything. And everything works a lot better together. However, women need to figure out the feminine model before they get going.
Well, you know, I think you're absolutely right. We have to work together in the sense that business is so complex today.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Nothing works without a team being created to work on something.
Absolutely.
So every business, as diverse a businesses as I work with, they all are, their success is really centered around how effective are our teams that are doing whatever it is we do.
Yes.
The question I would ask is, while you are teaching the women of the world how to recognize their feminine business model, who is going to teach the men so that when they get together, the men even realize that there's a difference?
Well,
because I didn't think about there being a difference till you came into my life. Thanks a lot for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I mean, essentially, that's really what it is information that the message has to get out there. But the women have to learn how to do it. The women don't even know it. Most women have no idea that they are functioning in a masculine model. They think that they're being feminine in the masculine model, but not really doing business with their feminine strengths. So it's really just going to be an information thing. It's everybody's going to have to learn as we go. I would like to hope that essentially when I end up franchising Goddess at the Grindstone, that will expand the reach of this so much more and bring women into the fold, so to speak, and allow them to work with their own feminine strengths, just like I am, you know, multi-focusing and anything else that you can come up with. Because I really believe, too, that women have so many different ways of doing things that if you can bring all of those different ways of doing things into business, your business is always going to be ebbing and flowing and shifting and moving and being very fluid, whereas a man's is always going to be very rigid and linear. And I don't know how it all fits in, essentially. I don't know where it goes. I hope that the message spreads. I want it to spread. I think it's a really important message.
Well, that's what we're doing here today.
And I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you very much for allowing me to say.
Well, let me ask you this, and this I apologize if I'm really catching you off guard here, but what do you have two or three things that you would suggest to men in businesses? What should we be doing differently with the women that we're working with?
That's a good question.
What tips could you give us that would help us integrate or take advantage of these differences?
I would say the first thing would be to stop looking at that woman as a man with boobs.
I'm not even going to go there.
Well, stop looking at her as a man in a dress. She is not thinking like you are. Her brain does not work the same way that yours does. So my first thing would be to remember that you are talking to a woman who is thinking with their emotion and with their intuition.
You know, okay, so I'm going to, don't lose your train of thought here. Can I keep interrupting you?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Because, all right, so tip number one, recognize the difference
yes.
by understanding that the women you're talking to are leading with emotion and intuition.
Yes.
I think men recognize that. Usually the way they recognize that is they speak as if that's a negative thing.
Exactly.
That's what I hear. Is
yes, it is.
She's all emotional
yes.
about this.
Yes.
Or that's, you know, great. So that's your
Right.
You
she's
know,
got a feeling about something.
About it.
Yeah.
You know, where's the facts behind
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And I think that that's something that men need. There's such a negative stereotype against that. And I really think that that's part of realizing, part of recognition with, as far as that number one thing, recognizing that that is her way of thinking.
Well, you know, there's been some interesting studies. We've talked about them on this show before with people that science has done studies on the brain that,
mm-hmm.
that do two things with this topic here. One is they've proven pretty much that all of our decisions are initially emotional.
Absolutely.
And we then find the facts to support the emotional yep. decision we just made.
Men included,
okay.
men also,
yeah.
not just women.
Number two is they find that intuition is not some woo-woo kind of thing.
Nope.
Intuition is our brains working so fast, taking data we've collected, experiences
yep.
we've had, and reaching conclusions without us being aware of the steps we've gone through to reach the conclusion.
Yep.
So we call it intuition because we didn't see it build up.
Exactly. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's a really negative stereotype about intuition and emotion where all of that comes, especially from men to women in business.
The most difficult thing for me when I started coaching, when I first went through coaching training,
mm-hmm.
was working with a coach, a woman, who had to really spend time with me to get me to listen to my intuition.
Mm.
And I say listen because we've all got it.
Absolutely.
But my business training had absolutely silenced it.
Yes.
It was not allowed in the room.
Yes.
When we were dealing with business problems.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with business now, does it?
Yeah, that was where I was. Okay, so tip number one, recognizing the difference, understanding the emotional and the intuitive place that women are coming from.
Yes.
And by the way, understanding those are not negative words.
Yes, and that's I think one of the things that we're going to be battling for quite some time
sure.
is because women do that to each other because we are living in the masculine model still, and when we see that woman behaving emotionally or saying, "Oh, I've got a feeling about this," we also do the same thing. You know, we look down on her, we say, "Oh my God," and even though we do the same thing, it doesn't matter. We
sure.
have that mindset. So those are the mindsets that need to change. Really the first thing.
Okay. Have you got another tip for us?
I do. Please be patient with us as we verbalize over and over and over the same thing again because we do our thinking outside. So please be patient with us as we speak what we're thinking.
Now, that's one I don't have a problem with because I'll just say personally, and then maybe, and we've talked about the fact that there is no hard and fast line that everybody is, every
right.
man's this way, every woman's this
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
I work best in a problem-solving environment if I can talk it out loud with somebody else.
Yeah.
I do not work well in a dark room by myself coming up with something creative and new. I can be more creative interrupting you as you're talking about something different than I ever would be alone.
Right. And that is that's you and
yeah.
and that's some
that's,
men.
That's my feminine side.
But a lot of men are not like that. And
yeah.
I know a lot of men and I've known a lot of businessmen over the course of my life and they aren't talkers. And they would never, and if I, and in the course of my business, as I have verbalized all those things, I got a lot of judgment back. So that's why I would ask for patience and letting us verbalize. And We don't need you to solve the problem. We're not asking for an answer. We're just verbalizing in order to connect all of our dots that are flowing through our head right now. All of the things going back and forth and buzzing back and forth and into, you know, the logic and the emotion and then back over and back over. We need to sort of organize that verbally.
We're back to the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yeah.
Is that, if I got it right?
To a certain extent, yes. But yeah. I think that women also, they do have their filter on. It's not like we're coming into a business situation and talking about our personal things, but
right.
We're connecting all of our dots inside our brain, outside of our brain. So have patience with that. Please stop judging. Allow us that time to process what we are doing.
You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking of, okay, what would be the advantage there? And I'm thinking about the fact that if I'm talking to Paul about a problem,
mm-hmm.
he's going through the deductive process of coming up with some answer.
Yes.
Silently in his head.
Yes.
And not sharing his reasoning with me. He just gives me the answer.
Absolutely.
If I'm talking to you about the issue, you're going to be saying out loud all of the things that you're thinking to come up with the final answer.
Yes.
Which, while I may become impatient with having to listen to it, if I can get past that, which is what you're telling me.
Thank you for being honest.
If I can get past that, then what I have is an opportunity to evaluate your process as you're developing it, which I didn't have that opportunity with Paul.
Yeah.
All I got was his end result.
Yeah, but you understand the process. It's already happening in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You do that process all on your own. So you understand what his process was. You don't need to know what his process was.
Yeah, but I don't know what facts, what information, what he went through.
That's true.
Because I only get the end result.
Right.
In your case, I'm going to get all the evaluation that you went through.
Yes.
Which is a richer, I mean, look at today. Everything today is about collecting data.
Yes.
And women are going to give me more data.
Absolutely.
To make a decision.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
That's kind of the way I've looked at it. And it's not to say that you guys don't have that data too, but you may not connect it the same way.
We don't share.
Well, it's not even that. It's that you don't, we have, our memories are based on, we have more memory of certain events because we connect intuition and emotion to everything also. Whereas men, it's just a memory. For us, it's a feeling and it's an experience. And that is a very rich thing that you can bring back up over and over again. And to bring all that into being able to verbalize it, we're going to be verbalizing everything that came from that experience. We're not just going to be verbalizing the linear. We're going to be verbalizing everything.
Okay, I'm glad you started that tip out with patience.
Well, I think patience is a big key for all of this, especially for men. As much as you guys love us and think that women are great, and really appreciative of that, by the way, but we also know that, you know, you lose patience with us because we're just talking and doing the blah, blah. And half the time, sadly, you know, you just, it's like Charlie Brown's parents talking. Wah, 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 wah. But we know that.
Yes, yes.
We just need you to hear the important things.
All right, before we get ready to wrap up, do you have a last tip? Or
you know what? I don't know that I do.
Okay.
I think that those two tips are pretty simple.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good tips. And I'm glad we've been able to take kind of go from the theory of what you are creating and working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean theory in the fact that it isn't proven.
Right.
But not commonly accepted, maybe.
Right.
Down to the concrete of how do we deal with that today? How can we use that?
Yeah.
How can our audience take advantage immediately of this information?
And this is the thing. This is the really early stages of this. I have no idea where it's going to go from here. And I look forward to seeing what happens. But this is just me and my own observations of what I have seen and what I have found. I can't wait to see other women going out and seeing what happens for them, too. Who knows what else is going to be out there? Well, I can't wait for more tips.
I'm sure we're going to hear from the audience. Well, look, before we sort of wrap this up, is there anything else that you didn't get a chance to talk about that you wanted to share or something that I kind of cut you off on that you'd like to go into a little more?
No, I don't think so. The only other thing that I would say would be maybe hormones, too. We have to take into effect that the hormones affect our processing just as much as they affect your processing. And our processing is going to always be unique because our hormones ebb and flow, whereas yours are going to stay a little bit more linear and rigid. So I guess patience is always the key thing when dealing with women.
I think it's the key thing when dealing with anybody.
I think you're probably right.
Well, look, this has been fascinating, Audrey.
Thank you
very much for joining us today, for bringing a new perspective.
Thank you.
That really, for me, is you know, is it new? I guess not. But have I been thinking about it? No. So that's just great. Thank you very much. We'll look forward to having you back on the show and report to us as to how the program's working.
Okay.
You know, whether you've been able to blend the multimedia advertising for bars into the support groups for women. I mean, what a great opportunity there.
I know,
a support
huh?
group for women in bars.
I've already thought about that one.
Okay.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Thank you very much. And welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Thanks.
Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to check out our archives for other guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, just interesting people to talk to. So send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.